Good afternoon. Welcome back to this podcast episode. My guest this time in this segment is Alex Donald from Locked On Canes and Grant Cameron. Tell us who you are, Grant, please.
Howdy. So my name is Grant Cameron. I work for Texas A&M within their social media teams and whatnot. So I'm here, happy to help out and happy to give a lending voice in the Texas A&M perspective.
Good. Yeah, let's start with the question. Number one, Grant, when I saw them last week, we all saw what they did against New Mexico. Now, granted, it was New Mexico, but their offense looked absolutely impressive, especially the passing game. They hardly ran the ball. What was your take from last week's game? What can apply to this game?
I think it's a lot of what we expect to see from a Bobby Petrino offense, right? Bobby likes to find something that works early, and he's going to keep using it until you prove you can stop it. We found last week that they couldn't stop slot fades where we were able to isolate one of our receivers onto a safety. When we had that matchup, we took advantage of it and led to a lot of success. I would expect going this week, Bobby's going to try to find something similar that he can exploit from the Miami defense. Unsure as to what that is at this current moment. I'm sure he's going to try and find something and lean on it until Miami proves they can stop.
Look at matchup I'm going to watch. Alex, you got a question for Grant?
Yeah, I certainly do. And thank you so much, Daniel, for having me. And Grant, it's so nice to meet you. So Connor Wegman looked really good last week. And that trio of receivers that Texas A&M is packing, I know, is something Miami's going to have to game plan for. Talk a little bit about that passing game with guys like Evan Stewart, Anaya Smith, and Noah Thomas, who all looked really good last week.
Absolutely. I think the passing game, I'd put that wide receiver room against anybody in the Ohio, anybody in the nation. I think they've got a lot of dudes and a lot of different talents, a lot of different abilities. Obviously, Ohio State's at a tier all of their own. But when it comes to that next tier, I think that Texas A&M belongs in that conversation. I think that Evan Stewart is one of the best solo receivers in the country. I mean, dude is just technically so incredibly sound. I think he's going to be just sensational coming to this game. And I look forward to seeing how y'all choose to attack him and try to take him away.
Yeah, the thing I've been looking at, maybe we probably go Cam Kitchens against Noah Thomas, who from what people have said this week, he's in a walking boot and he had injured his foot. I know you can't test to that because I understand the A&M reporters have not been allowed in practice this week, but is Noah Thomas going to play in this game?
I would imagine that he does. It would really shock me if he didn't. That dude is really competitive. It would shock me if we were able to keep him off the field. I think he's going to try and go.
Okay. The thing I look at when I look at the thing I want to turn to is the run defense. Is the run defense of Miami against the running game. Now, they didn't show much of a running game, but what can you tell about a guy in the Texas A&M running game? Who do we have to look out for in their running game?
I would say that we are waiting on a freshman to emerge in Reuben Owens until he proves that he can be an every down back. Amari Daniels is really the name to look for. Le'Veon Moss impressed a lot last week, showed a lot of promise, but Amari Daniels is still the starter until somebody else beats him out. Right now, though, definitely a running back by committee room.
Yeah, I think that's the run defense. I mean, the thing is, I think the rush defense will do the job there. But the thing I want to turn to is the A&M pass defense, the A&M run defense against Miami's four rushers. To me, I look at the trenches, and to me, I look at Matt Lee, Javion Cohen, and Inez Cooper against the A&M nose tackles. Do you guys think that's the key to winning this game?
I think Cooper is the linchpin. I truly believe that Matt Lee and Inez Cooper made this entire game. I think this game, based on the styles of run that Miami likes to use, you know, inside zone run, a lot of quick passing game, you need your centers and guards to play at a superb level. So if Cooper and, you know, even going out to Francis Malagoa, I think that it's really going to come down to the A&M defensive line versus the Miami offensive line. That is, to me, the matchup of the week.
Yeah, I think so, too. Alex, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit more, if you can, on A&M's rushing defense, because I know that a lot of folks who cover the team seem to be talking about that. Like, it's kind of an area of concern. You know, despite the fact A&M, we know on the front line, super talented, you know, really good pass rush on paper. I know we didn't see maybe as much of it as some would hope against New Mexico, but anyway, it was against New Mexico. I don't know what kind of a barometer that was, but as far as stopping the run, any concerns there, and who needs to really step up in terms of players in that front seven?
I would really say our three techs. I would say we need a big game from McKinley Jackson, Isaiah Rakes, Walter Nolan, and Shamar Turner, all of them need to have great games. Keeping things contained, a lot of what DJ Durkin's defense is built around is the idea that your front four, your front surface, is able to contain so that other players are able to spill and kill. Tarion York, our starting middle linebacker, is going to need to have a big game. Edrin Cooper, obviously, is going to be huge. Obviously, it's really going to come down to our defensive front seven. If they can have a great game stopping the ball, I think that forces Miami to beat us with Tyler Van Dyke, and that's where A&M wants to be.
I remember last year A&M had Van Dyke go 21-41, 271. But to me, the thing we have to do is let's talk about special teams. Ball security is critical. Last year when we went to College Station, the muff fumble on the punt cost Miami the game. Okay. What are they doing this? What is A&M doing this week to make sure? Because I know Davis had a fumble later in that game, which he eventually recovered. What are they doing regarding ball security this week?
I think A&M's going to preach the same thing they've been preaching. It's the same ball security drills that every coach does. I think that there's an emphasis by especially our punt return team to keep the ball on our hands and not force anything. Anaya Smith, personally, our punt returner, gives me a heart attack every time he catches the ball off the bounce. But it hasn't hurt us yet. Hopefully this week is not that week either.
Yeah. Alex, add something to that?
What's the expectation from A&M people? I know that some people in Miami, you know, were talking about, oh, it's going to be so hot and humid down here. I know in Texas it's even hotter, maybe not quite as humid, but pretty humid. As far as, you know, what kind of an atmosphere and conditions A&M are expecting? You know, I know obviously people make jokes about South Florida, you know, not attending games and stuff. I expect the building's going to be pretty packed by the time kickoff happens. But what's sort of the expectation for traveling and being away from that 12th man?
I think A&M is prepared for it. I mean, one of the benefits of playing in front of the 12th man every week is that you're in front of one of the greatest crowds every week in college football. So it prepares you to go on the road and be used to that. They're used to their sideline meetings being held at a yelling decibel level. They're used to the noise that a crowd can generate. I think that they're prepared from that perspective. Obviously, going on the road in college football is extremely difficult. That's why the teams place such emphasis on home field. Miami's no different. Obviously, with the way that stadium is designed to both increase noise and the way it's designed to put the visiting team in sunlight is all very impressive. And I think A&M is going to have to put that into their consideration and into their practice.
Yeah, the thing I look at, the keys to the game. Now, Alex, I didn't see your bit, the thing I locked on Canes earlier. What were your keys to the game, if for those that didn't see the video earlier?
Well, it's some of the stuff, Daniel, you already talked about in terms of avoiding self-inflicted wounds. You know, I'll never forget that muffed punt by Tyreek Stevenson last year, which was really just a shot in your own foot last year. Also had a couple of missed field goals. You know, I'm not expecting that to happen again from Borregalis. He's gotten so mature. He finished the season so strong last year. Red zone execution is a big one because Miami was completely ineffective in A&M's red zone last year. You know, they have to do a much better job against a formidable defense. If you get inside their 20, you have to come away with points, preferably touchdowns. And a big thing, Daniel, that I'm sure we'll get more into, you know, you guys were talking about A&M's pass defense. Miami's going to have to stretch the field a little bit more if they want to win this game. Like, for as good as the running game looked last week for the Hurricanes, you're obviously, you know, not going to be able to keep up that sort of success against a team like A&M if you're not stretching the field at the same time. So I think the ability of Tyler Van Dyke to find, you know, the Colby Youngs downfield who looked great. Jacoby George was the target on a couple of deep attempts. And I think Tyler Harrell could play more of a role this week. So I thought, you know, you were right to talk about, you know, A&M wanting Van Dyke to beat them. And from the way that I look at it, this is going to be a big test for Van Dyke to try and do just that.
Yeah. Another thing I have to look at also, Daleks, is the fact that the thing Miami has to do for them to win is they have, like you said, stretch the field. We didn't see that last week, but I say to me, the key is if we get about 175 to 185 yards rushing combined with those four rushers, I think this, and start wearing A&M down in the fourth quarter, I think Miami has a good shot to win this ball game. When I look at Grant Connell Weigman, that guy was last week. Yeah, granted, it was New Mexico. Can't take too much from that. Mm-hmm. But Connell Weigman, whoa, he looks like the real deal.
Yeah, I think that Connor Wigman has the potential to be a first-round draft pick going into next year's draft. I think that he is truly one of the most elite. When you look at what he does at a high level, those are all things that both Texas A&M and the league prioritize. Everything he does, especially under pressure, is just unbelievable. I mean, just when he was had a blitzer in his face last week, he had 2 touchdowns and was 9 of 11. I mean, you can't ask for much better when there's a guy directly in your face. I mean, that is truly one of a kind. He does a great job of keeping the ball ahead of the chains. I'm very glad he's a quarterback, and there are very few other quarterbacks inside of college football that I would trade him for. I truly believe that he is our key to victory. If he plays well, I don't see A&M losing this game.
Yeah, I look at Stewart and Thomas. I mean, I think Miami has to put maybe Cam Kitchens on Thomas. Do you think you agree with that?
The only thing I kind of wonder about is James Williams, because he's the only guy in Miami secondary who can basically match Thomas's size, being 6'5". So obviously that would be a big ask for James. And sometimes he's not the most consistent guy in the world, but he's one of the most talented, you know, football players that I've had a chance to cover. And so when it comes to going inch for inch, size for size, and James tends to get better grades in coverage, you know, than he does in tackling and some of those other things. So that could be, obviously Cam is usually the safe pick when it comes to doing everything right. But for a matchup with height like this one, I could see James being an option because he's about the same size as Thomas.
Now, we didn't see Stewart last year. You know, Stewart's going to come out ready to play his game. I mean, Stewart's a stud. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I saw the highlights, and what I noticed when he caught the first, I think that one of the touchdowns, Grant, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was no safety help New Mexico provided on that first touchdown.
Yeah. So on that very first touchdown, it was schemed up beautifully. It allowed Evan to release from the slot and go deep, and the safety was distracted by something underneath. That's New Mexico's coverages in general. We saw that last week. We saw that if we went deep, we were able to get separation and a man-on-man defense. I'm a firm believer that after a while, all zone becomes man, because if somebody runs into zone, you're not guarding grass, you're guarding a man. So typically, we're able to take advantage of that, and Evan did a great job of adjusting to an underthrown ball and coming down with a touchdown.
Yeah, Alex, what do you think we have to do in this game to shut down Stewart and Thomas?
Oh, my goodness.
I know you mentioned we're putting James on and potential, maybe Cam there. Yeah. But, yeah. I think we have to make sure we have to pressure Wigman with our four.
That's what I was going to say, 100%. That's exactly it, because we can talk about cornerback, safety, receiver matchups all day, but, you know, the best way to rattle a passing game is to pressure a quarterback. And I was curious about something on A&M's defense, because it seemed like, you know, we talked about the offensive guys, but the top standout defensive player was the transfer DB from Boston College, Josh DeBerry, who just, he went off. I mean, 10 tackles, an interception, a sack. Was that something that was expected? Like, was there a lot of hype around him before the first game, or was that a bit of a surprise that he did so well?
Oh, he's impressed all camp. I mean, it was very known from the beginning that this guy was going to come in and be somebody that flashed early and often for us. I would expect him to have another big game. I expect him to be another linchpin guy. I'd say as of now, he's our, hey, we need to cover this certain guy, you go take care of him. He's done a fantastic job with that. I think that Durkin's defensive style of having positionless DBs, he's done a great job of bringing in Josh DeBerry as the first true example of that, with other guys flanking him behind.
Yeah, I think for us, our wide receiver. Now, that's another thing with four. I mean, when I look at A&M's front, the matchup I'm going to watch is the interior of the lines. That's Cooper, like I said, Cooper, Lee, and Cohen against Nolan and their other, and Jackson. I think whoever wins that matchup, I think has a good shot to win this ball game. Agreed?
Yes, absolutely. Like I mentioned earlier, I think it comes down to that, because you guys run a lot of inside zone. You guys have a lot of quick hitting passing stuff. If Walter and Jackson are able to distract that and build away from that, I think it's going to take a lot away and force y'all to win in a different way that you haven't proven you could do last year or this year.
Don, Alex, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask a question. This is kind of a big picture question for A&M, and I think it's worth asking because something, Grant, that everyone talks about with Miami, and these two teams had, you know, similar seasons last year, really, really underperformed, disappointed their fans and everybody. So people down in Miami are always talking about the culture. Is the culture different? Are the players buying in? Are the coaches working in better harmony down here? And I would ask the same question about A&M. I mean, it seems like everything is still going really well with Petrino and that dynamic. I know a lot of folks were talking about, are he and Jimbo Fisher going to step on each other's toes? It seems to be perfect harmony so far. So what's being talked about in those parts about the culture and kind of everybody buying in?
I think the culture is exactly what A&M expects it to be, right? Like Jimbo has these five tenets that he just harps on every year. But after last year's disaster fire, it became very clear that the expectation that the fan base, the boosters, that the university has for this football team was not met. And it was issued as a challenge of, hey, you guys need to figure this out. And bring in Petrino and saying, hey, we're going to go out there. We're going to have this mentality. I mean, you can even see it in a negative aspect with our defense giving up two personal fouls on the same drive. I mean, we came out with an energy and with a level of revenge. I mean, we're playing a directional school, and we decided, hey, it's the end of the second quarter. We have 45 seconds. We're going to try and score a touchdown. And short of a holding penalty and a blocked field goal, we would have put points on the board. I mean, truly, this is a team that came out with a purpose and a drive to come out and show we are a different football team that has a different purpose. And I think that that is our goal for this year. I think that they'll try and prove and impose that will against Miami.
I think so, too. I think when you watch A&M, I mean, I look at it, to me, it's going to be, I want to see what A&M does against our running game. I mean, when you look, I think, like, again, you talk about the run, about the defense. But the thing I look at is really Cohen, like I said, all those guys. But Cooper, Edrin Cooper, tell us about him.
Edrin Cooper's the linchpin. I mean, he has incredible speed for a true Mike linebacker. Can get sideline to sideline. He's very important for that whole philosophy of spill and kill, right? When you have the inside guys blocking up all those holes, the running back has to bounce it outside horizontally to the edges. And when you have a guy that is that sure of a tackler and has that ability to close in space and get around blocks on the edge, I mean, he truly is the linchpin. I would say that outside of our defensive line, he's going to be a big factor in determining what we can and can't do in this game.
I know one thing I've always noticed Jimbo teams, and Alex, you know this over the years. Doesn't Jimbo like to go to his tight ends a lot? Do you think we'll Absolutely. See a lot? Do you think we'll see more tight end play in this game?
I sure hope so. I mean, obviously, being out of our start is important. Jake Johnson was the number one tight end recruiting wise last year. I expect him to be involved. Max Wright is a senior who's been around forever. Absolute more of a blocker than a receiver, but can still catch a few balls. I would look for us to get them more involved. They were unproductive last week. I would expect that to change this week.
Alex, you want to say something about our tight end play? I mean, if Arroyo goes.
Right. That's going to be, I think, one of the big X factors, guys, is Elijah Arroyo's health, because we saw, you know, last week, you know, with Miami really only trusting Cam McCormick to get on the field with Arroyo not playing because of injury. And, you know, Riley Williams, the true freshman, got in late, but, you know, they didn't really go to him until the game was already decided. And Jahleel Skinner is going through something. He didn't play at all last week. So if Elijah Arroyo can play, that's going to make a really, really big difference, because, you know, Cam McCormick, who's, you know, kind of Miami's starting tight end right now, is one of the better blocking tight ends in the country, but he doesn't, Daniel, as you know, as well as I do, he doesn't give you a whole lot in the passing game, and you're going to be, you know, using four receiver sets quite a bit. But if Arroyo's healthy, he gives you a weapon in the passing game and just another safety blanket for Tyler Van Dyke. I mean, we think about, you know, how important Will Mallory was last year. He was Miami's leading receiver from the tight end position. And I think Arroyo has just as high, if not an even higher ceiling than Mallory had. So him being on the field would make a tremendous difference this week.
All right. Okay, guys, I'm going to go home, round the horn here. Keys to the game, keys to a Miami win, keys to an A&M win. I'm going to start with Grant, keys to an A&M win.
If A&M is going to win this game, they've got to contain the run. They've got to force Tyler Van Dyke to beat us, especially in the medium to long passing game. That's where I think A&M has the best chance to win this game. On offense, I expect us to try and control more of the time of possession than we did last week. I expect us to run the ball a lot more and at a higher efficiency level. I expect us to really target and feed Evan Stewart, as well as Moose Muhammad. Was not really involved last week, but I expect him to have a big game being given the opportunities that he's going to be given. I would expect us to run the ball a lot and try to keep the ball away from that incredible Miami offense.
Alex, keys to the game, keys to a Canes win.
Yeah, Miami needs to put enough consistent pressure on Connor Wegman to force him into the types of mistakes he hasn't really made to this point. I mean, he hasn't thrown an interception to this point. This would be a good time for that streak to end. So when it comes to, you know, people like Nigel Kelly and Jafari Harvey on Miami's pass rush, who I thought had a really good game last week, Akeem Mezidor, and Leonard Taylor, if he can have, you know, a more consistent performance, then that would be a big boost for Miami. Just, I think putting pressure is so important, and that's going to make those defensive back matchups so much easier if the quarterback is forced to throw off balance all game. And then, you know, offensively, you know, it starts and ends in the trenches. I mean, Miami, you know, did really well against the other Miami. This is a completely different beast this week to go up against a defensive front like Texas A&M. So if we can see Miami's offensive line kind of impose a similar will and win the majority of those battles up front, then I think that's going to give the Hurricanes a really, really good chance. So those to me are the big keys, in addition to just execution on little things. No drops, good tackling, don't miss field goals, don't muff any punts, you know, try to execute on third downs. You know, I know some of those things are obvious, but those are things the Hurricanes didn't do against A&M and didn't do most of last year. If they can do some of those things, they can win this game.
My keys to the game, do not turn the ball. Like you said, Alex, don't turn the ball over. Get to Weigman with four, our front four. Stretch the A&M defense. Stretch the field a little more in this game. And also, please do not commit stupid penalties. You saw that last week against Miami, Ohio. We had false start penalties. You cannot have false start penalties in a game of this magnitude in key situations. You've got to protect the ball. You can't turn the ball over. I think we have to win the turnover battle. If we do that, I think Miami has a good chance to win this ball game. Guys, I'm going to let you out. I'll let you go with a prediction. Your prediction for the game. Grant C., we'll start with you first.
I think it's going to be 34-27 Texas A&M taking it home.
Alex.
I'm going 27-24 Miami edging it out. Borregales game-winning field goal at the death. That's where I'm going.
Guys, this is a big test for both teams. But I got to think, in this town, we have not had a big game in this town in 6 years. If you remember 2017, Alex, and you know it well, Notre Dame and Virginia Tech and Notre Dame back-to-back weeks. The place will be electric. It's a 3:30 game. It's a national televised game. If this is the moment Tyler Van Dyke comes out on the national stage, I think this is the game. You got to do it. I could see Colby Young and Mark Fletcher coming out on the national stage, and so is Leonard Taylor. If Mario preaches the culture, if he's building something, I think this is a major step. We're not going to be back, no matter what the national media tells you. But this is a major step forward. I think it'll be a tough game, but I think we win 24-20. Defense makes a play late to seal the victory. So, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Alex, Grant, I don't know if you're going down to Miami on Saturday.
I am. I'll be there. Looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Look forward to it. Alex, I know I'll see you. Hopefully, I'll see you Saturday down there. Take care. Have a great rest of the day and travel safe, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.